Seat, have a seat. I'm gonna be extra comfortable. Hey, look at that. Tonight, because I'm sitting in this chair, and it's so Christmassy, and I may fall asleep. So just wake me up at any point in my message. This chair is comfortable. Hey, real quick, before we get started with the message, I want to just give a real quick announcement. Next weekend is what? Christmas Eve, right? And on Saturday. And so we as a church at Calvary, we're doing this big Christmas winter wonderland. We're doing this Christmas dream is what we're calling it. And I'm sure you've seen it all over town on billboards and here, right? Promotion for it. It's going to be really amazing. And we invite you and your families out to it. Services are 2 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and 6 o'clock. And we need your help because we want to make this really, really great. We're doing a winter wonderland out in the amphitheater. And I don't even want to go over all the specifics because I don't want to give anything away, no spoilers. But we need your help to make it what it is. And so we're going to be taking signups. If you want to volunteer your time to help out with that winter wonderland and serving and having fun with the kids and doing all that stuff, we have signups for you. So if you want to sign up for like a 2 o'clock service and then come to 4 o'clock with your family or whatever it is, we invite you to sign up to participate. We're also, in addition to the winter wonderland, we're doing like a... it's a Christmas dream, so we want as many people as we can, students, younger leaders, to help out with welcoming people into the church, and so we have a sign-up for that as well. You'll be wearing pajamas, and it's nice and comfortable. And so if you're interested, talk to one of our leaders in the back afterwards. We'll have sign-ups for you, and we can get you on a spot so that you can volunteer your time. It's going to be really fun. But anyway, you guys have a Bible? If you have a Bible, you can open up to Luke chapter 2. If you don't, it's okay. I'm going to read you a story. But I want to ask you this question. Have you ever had an opportunity to share some really, really good news to somebody? A news that didn't necessarily affect you, but news, really, really good news for somebody else. Have you ever had the opportunity to be the bearer of good news? Anybody in here? For somebody? You're probably thinking of various things in your life. I remember much earlier this year, my wife, she signed up, entered a contest to win tickets to go see Justin Bieber. And all the girls are like, woo! All the guys are like, that doesn't sound fun. Hey, regardless of how you feel, she's a big fan. So she was like, oh, I'm signing up. So she signed up through the Ellen Show, okay? And she signed up, and then we went to Portland, and we were on a vacation, and she got a call while we were in Portland. And it was a call from a number that she didn't recognize, so it went to voicemail. And the voicemail that she heard later on that day was a lady who was calling to tell her some really, really good news. She was telling her, hey, the Justin Bieber concert has been canceled. No, I'm just kidding. For me, that'd be good news. For her, she got even better news than that. It was, hey, you did, in fact, win 2 tickets to go see Justin Bieber in Portland. And so she was so excited, but Michelle, she missed the call, but the voicemail was a lady that was very excited for her, very happy to give away those tickets. Now, this lady on the voicemail that called Michelle, she didn't herself give the tickets. She didn't have the tickets to give. There weren't her prize to give. It was Ellen's, right? And so Michelle was able to receive the news from that messenger, that lady who called and said, hey, I got some really, really good news for you. You won these tickets to see Justin Bieber live in Portland. Now, the lady that called was excited for Michelle. It didn't affect her. They weren't hers to give, but she was the messenger that got to deliver those really, for Michelle, really good news, right? And see, in Luke chapter 2, the angels, when I read this story, the angels got to announce some really, really great news. Not that Justin Bieber was coming to town. Not that Santa Claus was coming to town, but that Jesus Christ was being born in Bethlehem. Now, that was really, really good news, to say the least. Now, the angels in this story got to be the very first evangelists. That means they got to be the first creatures, because they're not people, right? They got to be the very first creatures to share the gospel, to share the good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ with mankind. They were the very first, and they were privileged. Now, this news didn't affect them personally. It wasn't for them. But they knew that it was the very best news that they could ever share because of what it meant to the world. They knew that this was the very best thing that they could ever proclaim because of what it meant to people, what it meant to the shepherds in that day. Now, if you have a Bible, open it up to Luke 2. I want to share with you just a portion of the story. Because it affected them, these shepherds, that night in a really amazing way. I'll start with the very first verse of chapter 2. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and of the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, his engaged wife, right, who was with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" That's pretty cool, right? Now, can you imagine being those shepherds? Like, can you imagine, like, seeing what they saw? I mean, after all, they're just doing their thing. This is what they did for a living. This was their job. This was their life. They were social outcasts in that day. So they didn't live in the city. They didn't live with everybody else. They lived out in the fields in the middle of nowhere, right, with just a bunch of sheep. And they probably smelled dirty, right? They smelled bad. They weren't the cleanest of people. But here they are living their life, watching these sheep, taking care of them, when all of a sudden this angel shows up before them. Now, this angel, he didn't look like a normal person in disguise like we see in some of Old Testament stories, where it's like the angel just looks like another person. Now, this guy just came out in all of his glory, right? He just shows up. He's shining as bright as the sun. He's glowing in the dark. And on top of that, the glory of the Lord, it says, just shone around him and around the shepherds. And these shepherds were scared to death. I mean, these guys are peeing in their pants, right? They're terrified. They're just like, what is going on? Because they're seeing the glory of God before them. And so the shepherds are terrified. And the angel, he's just like, whoa, just chill, right? Like, calm down. Don't be scared. It's just me, right? He's like, don't be scared, because I'm going to bring you good news. What does he say? He says, I bring you good tidings. And what is a tiding? It just means news, right? So I bring you good news, he says. Now, tidings just sounds a little bit more Christmassy. Bring you good tidings, but I bring you good news, which will bring great joy to all people. For today, he says, in the city of David, that's the city of Bethlehem, he says, a Savior is born. He says, and you'll find him. You'll find him not as a conquering king, all ready to overthrow, right, the government, but you'll see him as a baby, a newborn baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, let me tell you something tonight. The greater the tiding, the greater the joy. The greater the news, the greater the joy. Like, we played this game tonight, right? And we were talking about it with our staff, like, what should the prize be, you know? $5 to, like, Bahama Bucks, or, like, you know? And then somebody was just like, how about $50 off of the peak? And I thought, well, that's a worthy prize, I think, right? That's something that could actually bring joy to somebody versus, like, a quarter of a Frappuccino at Starbucks, you know? You're like, oh, I don't really want to, you know, shake all those things out of the tissue box. This is kind of weird for $5 to Starbucks. But for $50 off of the peak, that's worthwhile. So the greater the news, the greater the prize, the greater the joy. Now, if the angels were there to deliver the news that a prophet had come, another prophet had come, well, there wouldn't be much joy accompanied with that. There wouldn't be much reason to rejoice. Now, if the angels came and they got to deliver the news that God had come to judge the world, well, there wouldn't be any reason to rejoice, because we're all sinners. Now, if the angels came and they got to announce the news, deliver the news that a good man had been born, well, there wouldn't be much reason to rejoice either, because, hey, we don't need just another good man. That doesn't help our case. But the angels came to declare the news that a Savior had been born. A Savior had been born. A Savior to save mankind from their sins, because that's mankind's greatest problem. Did you know that? Is sin. Because that separates us from God. And so the message that the angels got to share was not, hey, a prophet's born, a good man is born, but hey, God has come down to his people. God has put on flesh, has become man, so that he would lay his life down for the world. Now that's good news, right? Anybody agree with me? That's good news there. The Messiah had finally come. The Messiah had finally come. The prophecies were finally being fulfilled. Now, not in the way that they probably thought that they were going to be fulfilled. But the Messiah had come. And so the reason that their joy was complete in that moment, and they were rejoicing, and they went to Bethlehem, they traveled to go see him, was because their greatest need had just been met. Or at least it had been announced that it will be met. That the time had come for that to take place. Now, the same is true for us. It's the greatest news because it saves us from our greatest problem, and it meets our greatest need, which is salvation. That's the same thing that is true for us. See, Christmas isn't just about these lights, right? This is a really cool Christmas tree. It's fake, you know? And I don't know. I just don't like fake Christmas trees. I don't care if you're allergic to Christmas trees. Just get a real one and deal with it. You know what I mean? No, I'm just kidding. That's really mean. But Christmas isn't just about like all the decorations and the lights and the presents. And if you're New Mexican, the tamales, right? You know, I used to, let me just say, growing up, I unwrapped a lot of presents and most of them were tamales, okay? And it was cool. Like, I liked it. But Christmas is so much more than just all of those traditions and all those lights and all those fancy things, all those presents. Christmas is hope coming to a hopeless world. That's Christmas. Christmas is Jesus coming here, coming to this earth, God the Creator, sending his Son. Christmas is God so loving the world that he sent his Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What is Christmas? It's all of God's promises coming true. I want you to look at it like that this year. Christmas is God coming through in his promises of old, of the prophets, and every single book of the Bible centered around a Savior that would come one day. And 2,000 years ago on Christmas time, a Savior was born and God came through. That's what it's all about. See, Christmas shows that the war is over, right? It shows that peace can finally be found. And it's not found in anything that the world can give, but it's found in what Jesus himself can bring, because he himself, as Paul says, is our peace. And so when we sing, you know, songs of peace around the holiday, you can know that, hey, I actually get it. Not because I've done anything right, but because God has actually sent it into my life because of Christmas, because of the hope that comes from Jesus. Christmas means Jesus came, and Jesus didn't come just to be born. Right? We know that. Jesus didn't come just to be born. See, the crib pointed to the cross. I had somebody say that this week. One of our guests was saying that at our staff party. The crib pointed to the cross. You see, the manger pointed to the man of sorrows, carrying our sin, carrying our burdens, carrying our guilt, carrying our shame on the cross. That's what it's all about. Jesus came so that he would lay his life down. He said, I didn't come so that I could be served, but so that I could serve and give my life as a ransom for many. That's the reason Jesus came, to seek and to save that which is lost. I hope you know that in here. And maybe you don't. Maybe you've just been religious, and maybe Christmas has just been a material holiday for you. But maybe you need to know that there is hope for you. Because, hey, life is hard, and we need hope. And that's found in Jesus Christ. And Christmas time shows that's possible. Let me tell you something. I wrote this down again. You know, the gospel is the greatest news that can ever be heard. Remember I said that, you know, the greater the tidings, the greater the joy. The gospel is the greatest news that could ever be heard. The gospel is the greatest joy that could ever be found. Why? Well, because lost people find joy only in being found. You know, because starving people find joy only in being fed. Because imprisoned people find joy only in being set free. Because dead people find joy only in being resurrected so that they can actually have joy. Otherwise, it's not possible. Sick people find joy only in being made well. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came so that we could have life and life abundantly on the cross. The gospel is humanity's greatest need, and it's been met in Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. Our greatest need being met. See, because our greatest problem is what? It's sin. It separated us from God. Sin separated you and me from holy God, but Jesus came and he bridged the gap. Sin sentences us, leads us to a place of death, spiritual death, where it matters most, eternal hell. But Jesus came and he brought life and life abundantly, and he resurrected that, and he took away death's sting. So we can say, hey, death, where's your sting? It's been swallowed up in victory because Jesus came on that day. Jesus came with a mission so that he could seek and save that which is lost. And that's joy, right? That leads us to joy unspeakable. That leads to joy unfathomable. Joy that can never be taken away from you, regardless of your circumstances. You know, we sing this song around Christmas time. You hear it all over the place. Joy to the world, right? Joy to, you know, you know the song. It's played all over the malls, all over the stores. It's on every, you know, secular radio station in the holiday season. Secular artists are singing it. But I wonder how many people actually have experienced that joy that they're singing about. The joy that sang in that song, joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her king. Like, how many people understand that? I think that the world doesn't get it. You know, they're seeking happiness in material things. You know, we talked about last week, life is just more than surviving. It's about investing in eternity. And joy is found when we know our true identity is in Christ, not in just ourselves and storing up for ourselves treasures on earth where thieves will break in and steal and rust and moth will destroy. But joy is found in knowing who Jesus is. The world can't understand that because they haven't received the good news. They haven't received the good tidings. They haven't heard the message of knowing Jesus, because to know Jesus is to know peace. To know Jesus is to know true joy. And let me just say this. If there's anybody in here, I'm going to keep this message real short. I'm just going to go into one more thing. But before I do that, I just want to, it wouldn't be fair in this Christmas season to not give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ. See, the gospel is, I said it so many times tonight, is that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin so that you and me could be the righteousness of God. I don't know what you've done. I don't know what shame you're carrying, what guilt you're carrying. I don't even know, like, what self-righteousness you're holding on your shoulders of, hey, I'm good enough, I've accomplished this. Hey, that's good, but it's not going to save you. It's not going to make you right before God. So regardless of whether you're hurting tonight, and I mean, if you're hurting tonight, my heart breaks for you, but there's a God who loves you. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you think you got it all together. Regardless, you need Jesus. And you need to ask him into your life, and you need to surrender to him. And maybe some of you have never had the chance to do that. You've been religious. You've been fighting God. You've been running from him. You've been living your life the way that you want to. And let me just say, tonight you can stop running and you can start surrendering. Listen. It's not the fear of God's judgment that necessarily leads us to repentance. The Bible says it's the loving kindness of God that draws us to repentance. God loves you. I don't know if you've ever heard that and it has really pierced your heart, but I hope that it does tonight, just to know that God loves you. He's crazy about you. He loves you so much that he sent Jesus to this world. He made Christmas something worth rejoicing about, not just secular material stuff that'll fade. God loves you so much that he wants to bring you into his family and adopt you as sons and daughters and give you an inheritance in Christ. And if you're here and you just need to receive that tonight, just raise your hand. And I want to pray for you. I want to lead you in a prayer so that you can have eternal life. Is there anybody in here? Right here in the front. Anybody else? That's awesome, man. Anybody else? He loves you. He doesn't care where you've been. He doesn't care what you've done. He wants to wrap his loving arms around you and bring you in. He wants to give you satisfaction like you've never found before. He wants to give you peace like you've never found before, and joy like you've never known before in your entire life. Is there anybody that's just saying, I want to give in to God right now. I want to surrender to him. I need him to be not just a part of my life, but I need him to be my life. Anybody else? Just raise that hand. It doesn't matter what anybody else is saying. If you know you need it, and today's the day of salvation for you. You can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are going to heaven and that God has a mansion for you there. Why? Not because you've done any good. None of us have done good, but because Jesus is good. Because his cross has accomplished your freedom, because his blood has paid your debt. Anybody in here? Well, I want to pray for you, man. Let's all close our eyes. Let's just all bow our heads and let's go before the Lord. And you who raise your hand, I want you to pray this with me. And if there's anybody else, maybe you were too afraid to pray it out loud or to raise your hand publicly. But if you know you need Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with me. It's just you talking to God. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I've hurt you. Please forgive me. I believe that Jesus came and he died in my place. And he rose from the dead. And he can give me a new life. Right now. Come into my life. Make me a new person. I want to follow you for the rest of my life, starting now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, that's incredible. Hey, we want to talk to you after. And anybody else, if you said, I prayed that prayer, talk to a leader before you leave. We want to love on you and explain to you what it means to follow Christ. But let me just say this before the message is done, okay? Let me just say this to everybody else in here. I want to talk to the Christian in here. See, the angels got to announce the news that Jesus was coming. We get to announce that Jesus came. We get to tell the world that Jesus did come, and he did die on the cross, and he did raise from the dead. See, it's crazy. Christmas is the only time of year that you can hear the gospel all around the world, in shopping malls and on the radio and all over the place, and people be okay with it. Christmas is the only time where atheists can come to church, where they want to come to church. They're welcome every single day to come to church. But, you know, Christmas is a very unique time where the gospel can be spotlighted in a way where people can see it. But don't let Christmas be the only time that people hear about Jesus. Don't let that be the only season where they get to hear the gospel being preached and being shared in love. No, that should be your life and my life on a daily basis. Now, my mom used to have this like cheesy plaque in her kitchen. It was like this weird, it was weird. It was cheesy. But it said, Jesus is the reason for the season. Anybody seen that? I'm like, oh gosh. You know, but it's true, right? Jesus is the reason for the season. But listen, you have every reason in every season to tell people about Jesus. Every season. That's not just Christmas time. It's not just then. Don't keep that news to yourself. Don't keep that joy to yourself. That news is too good for you to just hide it in your heart. That news is far too good and too precious for you just to take it and put a basket over your light. Don't keep that joy to yourself, because the world needs that joy. They need to hear it. They need to know it. They need to experience it. See, after the angels left, I think it's crazy in this story, the shepherds left to go see the newborn baby. They went and they worshiped Jesus. But then it didn't stop there. It says after that they went and they spread the word. They spread the word and they told everybody around them what they had seen. So they went where people were. They probably went into the cities. They went all around to other shepherds and they're like, check it out. This is what we saw. Jesus is here. The Messiah has been born in Bethlehem. They spread the word. The angels evangelized that day. They got to share the good news that day. But listen, God would rather use you to evangelize than the angels. Let me just tell you that. God's number one priority for evangelism is not in the angels. That's not his first choice. His first choice is for you, the people of God who have been redeemed, to go out and share the goodness of God, to share those good tidings that will bring great joy. That's your job and that's my job. That's what God would prefer. So go out and do that. I think it's crazy because when I look at the angels, like I said earlier, that this didn't affect them personally. See, the angels, they don't need a savior. like we do. The angels haven't been redeemed. We have. The angels, Jesus didn't come and die in the place of angels. Jesus, in fact, left the angels for a time to come to us. So we have all the more reason to go out and declare the goodness of what God has done in our lives. Way more than the angels, but man, were the angels excited to go and share that good news. And if the angels were excited because they saw the goodness of God and they saw the riches of God in Christ Jesus, how much more should we be excited for those who actually have obtained it in Christ Jesus? You and I are the messengers. We're the evangelists. Let's go out. Let's tell the world about good tidings this season, next season, in every season, because that's what it's all about. Because Jesus has come to this earth, and that is reason for us to celebrate. That is reason for us to have joy unspeakable in the midst of a world that doesn't know it. Let's be the light, okay? Merry Christmas to everybody, because Jesus has come. We can rejoice. Let's pray real quick, and then we'll keep singing. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for hope that is here. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to live in the light of that hope, in the light of that grace. We thank you for this time. We thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.